Blog Talk Radio. This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and we have a great guest for you today. His name is Daniel Goodenough. He's author of the book, The Caravan of Remembering, and he believes that it's possible for anyone to go on a journey to discover their unique gifts and talents. Daniel has been teaching courses about personal growth for over 30 years using the Way of the Heart program that he co-founded. Welcome to the show, Daniel. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. Thank you for being on the show. So tell us a little bit about the story of how you came to do what you currently do, Daniel.
Well, the conversation about why are we here, what does that call us to do, and who are we meant to be, that was a focus as long as I can remember. As a child, I'd look around and I really couldn't understand why adults would go off into a work that they obviously hated. So that's been part of my research project for my whole life. In the meantime, I went for some of my passions myself. If I was going to talk to other people about it, I decided I would do that. So, you know, I was a professional musician. I have a fine arts degree. I worked as a scientist. But my main focus for my life has been, how do you remember why you're here and how do you step into it?
Excellent. And so what has come of that work?
Well,
how have you helped people?
Well, as you mentioned, I've been doing seminars and traveling around the country, you know, U.S., Canada, and Mexico for the last 30-plus years doing that work. And, you know, at that point that I said it's time for me to do this thing I came to do myself full-time. It's been 30 mm-hmm. years of doing that. So I've written 14 Life Mission publications. The Caravan of Remembering is the first part of that process, so I developed the first level of where it's why are you here, what does that call you to do, who does that call you to be, and then a second level when we engage with how do you actually do that, and then third level is how do you do that artfully, beautifully, sacredly, and skillfully, and most mm-hmm. recently a fourth level of how do you scale that up in the world, and that's brought me to how do you do that with corporations and entrepreneurs.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. And so when you help the people that you, your clients, let's say, discover their life's mission and find some meaning in their lives, how does it feel for you to be doing this kind of work when you see a client step into their life's work?
Well, it's fulfilling and rewarding. And along those same lines, it inspires me to keep working at refining the process, up-leveling the process,
mm-hmm.
keeping the process current with what's going on these days. And I'm really happy for the people to see them step into it.
Obviously, very good. And so what role do you think authenticity plays in all of this, Daniel?
Well, I won't say that if you haven't done the inquiry, you're not being authentic. What I will say is that staying in the inquiry, even if it's just asking those three questions on a consistent basis, why am I here, who am I called to be, and who would I be if I was present to why and what that calls me to do, you know, the why, what, and who,
mm-hmm.
just staying present to those questions allows you to be clearer about what's your core. When you're making a decision in the world about what's next or how to be in your community or, you know, because life mission isn't just a job. It's you have a family life mission and a community life mission and a spiritual life mission and a job life mission. And there are many. So for every aspect of life, you could say, what's the why behind that? So if you stay in that inquiry and when you're making a decision and if you're present to how that conversation has evolved over your lifetime and maybe where you've noticed you weren't present to your why and where you were and the consequence of that. I think it helps you stay authentic and make authentic decisions. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense because you're making decisions from your core, who you really are, which is authenticity. Yeah. So what do you say to people who may say, I don't know how to answer those questions, because I have clients, coaching clients, and sometimes I ask them questions and I don't know how to answer them. Where do they,
well,
you know, what steps do you take or maybe some kind of exercise you do with them?
Well, yeah, so I call them scales because if you wanted to be an elite athlete, there'd be practices to do. And especially if you were a musician, mm-hmm. there'd be literally scales you would do every day to become masterful on your instrument. In this case, the instrument is you. So
mm-hmm.
that's with my main tenet is that knowing your life mission and being skillful at stepping into it and evolving it with the changing times is a skill like anything else. If the instrument is you and your life, then being skillful around this question of why, what, and who, there would be scales to do. So as you asked, what would be some examples? You might start with early in life, your favorite toys, your favorite movies, your favorite stories,
mm-hmm.
favorite sports, the places you love to go to. The question behind that, behind the question of what were they, was why were they? Those movies that you loved, why did they touch you in particular?
Mm.
Why were your heroes? Because you could have picked anyone for a hero. Why were the people who were your heroes? And then you could say, what's the question at the center of your life? That's a good one. And what fascinates you and what motivates you? And when you go to a big box bookstore that has every category,
mm-hmm.
which place do you go first? What place do you go second consistently? And again, the question is why? Why do you always go there? And, you know, when you do something for the love of the game, quote unquote, what is it about that
mm-hmm.
that has you do it for free? You know, so there are probably hundreds of questions like that. When are you most alive? When are you most confident? What do people come to you for advice about? If you could just change one thing in the world, what would you change? Question,
mm-hmm.
That would be what I call scales. And if you stay engaged with those kind of things and you're present to the why of those kind of things, then the way that you would articulate your why, what, and who becomes clearer and clearer over time, and you're also clearer about how to dance with the changes of our times.
Yeah, I love that. I love the why because I do ask my clients, what was your favorite thing to do when you were a little girl or a little boy, right? But I've never said, why was it the favorite thing? And that comes, to me, that speaks to how something makes you feel. You know, why do you want to do this? Because I feel this way, that way, the other way. So I love that you've added that why into the question because it digs way deeper. You know, it goes really deep into who we are. So that's absolutely perfect. I love that. So what's the main message that you want to bring to the public?
Well, along those lines, the main message is that knowing why you're here and what that calls you to do and both who you'd have to be to step into it and who you'd become by doing that is not just for the lucky few. It's not like lightning strikes and epiphany and, you know, eureka, I know my
mm-hmm.
life mission and I wish that were me and that's for the lucky few. Everyone can know their life mission. It's a skill development thing like any of the other things in life. We haven't done well as a culture in instilling that in people, and one of those things I'd like to change about the way we present that question and maybe the educational system is that I would say the vision is what you see as possible in the world. Mission is your unique piece of that. What I see as possible
mm-hmm.
for the world as my vision is the world would take it as self-evident and obvious that everybody has a reason for being here and that anytime
mm-hmm.
anyone, any place doesn't step into their reason for being here, we all lose. Because everyone's
right.
got something to bring, and we all benefit when somebody steps into it.
Exactly. That is so true, Daniel. And, you know, the school system in the U.S., I don't know about anywhere else, but doesn't help in that at all. They want the kids to be the same. They want everybody to excel in every subject, even though you may be more of a language person like I am than a math person. And so there is no really nurturing of that special person who everyone is and that special talent that everyone has. There's no nurturing of that at all in the school system. Everything is the same. Everybody's taught the same and treated the same. What suggestions do you have for changing that? Because I think that's one of the biggest changes we need in this country in the school system.
Well, you know, in terms of the school system, everyone being the same, what one of the things we now are starting to talk about is multiple lines of intelligence. And, you know, like, so it was years ago, it was just IQ, and then we said, okay, yes, there's EQ and SQ, SQ being spiritual intelligence. Then we also said, you know, Howard Gardner's work, that there's linguistic intelligence, as you mentioned, and interpersonal intelligence and intrapersonal and spatial intelligence, et cetera. And that's the piece about life mission that could be entered into school systems, that there are universals. Every human being is meant to move through all the stages of mind. That's the spiral dynamics work that's out there. Every human being is meant to have access to all the states of mind. What's unique is the lines of the particular lines of intelligence that you're meant to up-level. And, you know, a recent example that's been added to the list of intelligences is culinary intelligence. So if your passion in life is to become a master chef, staying with the inquiry of what does it mean to be a master chef and up-leveling that skill means you're up-leveling your culinary intelligence. So that could be part of school systems. Like, instead of just educating for IQ, we could be present to all the many kinds of intelligences. And then to perhaps lobby for that, to educate more young people about the skill of existential intelligence is the ability to access meaning and create meaning. So that would be a line of intelligence that would be relevant to every young child, and we could introduce that with the other intelligences into the school system.
That's a good idea. I like that, culinary intelligence, because that's not something that's even touched upon in school. If somebody has a desire for cooking or creating dishes, and you don't even get to do that. So you go to culinary school. You don't even get to do that in college. It's kind of like put aside. That's a child that has to be put aside while you learn all these things, you know, while you learn all these subjects. So I really love your suggestions. Awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break. If you have any questions for Daniel, please feel free to call in. The number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling in on now, and we'll be right back.
Listen now to husband and father of three kids, Damon Burton, as he shares his stories of why authenticity matters, both personally and professionally. Burton founded a successful search engine optimization agency, www.seonational.com, in 2007, with clients around the world, including MBA teams and Shark Tank featured businesses. He shares how he created a lifestyle by design and how you can too. Thanks for listening to Damon Burton on Dare to be Authentic. You can also learn more from Damon as he blogs about life and entrepreneurship at www.damonburton.com.
Are you looking to become a better leader, whether that's in business, in sports, or in life, and you haven't found a book yet to help you get to that game-changing aha moment? Well, we have the book for you, Tighten the Lug Nuts, The Principles of Balanced Leadership. Tighten the Lug Nuts will help you get to that game-changing leadership moment. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iBooks, or at 360managementservices.com. That's the number 360managementservices.com. Pick up your copy today and start changing your leadership styles.
I struggled with alcohol and drugs, which is a big part of why I succeed in helping families help the ones they love accept help and achieve lasting recovery.
If you know someone who is addicted to drugs or alcohol but you don't know what to do, call Steve Bruno, interventionist and referral specialist, for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation. Call 747-220-2287 or visit stevebruno.com. Again, that's 747-220-2287 or visit stevebruno.com.
I'm Sue Matthews, the author of Paint Your Hair Blue, a celebration of life with hope for tomorrow in the face of pediatric cancer. PaintYourHairBlue.com. My book is about my daughter Taylor's journey through cancer. Your heart will break and soar, sometimes simultaneously, as you learn about Taylor's fierce courage and unremitting resolve to not permit cancer to scar her spirit or body. You'll come away from the book with a vivid understanding of how truly short and precious life is, and a greater willingness to add more color as we go along.
Welcome back to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and we have guest Daniel Goodenough, author of The Caravan of Remembering, and he believes it's possible for anyone to run a journey to discover their unique gifts and talents. So, Daniel, let's talk about the book, The Caravan of Remembering. You touched upon it a little bit earlier in the session, but let's talk about it more in depth. Why you wrote the book, what was your hope for the book, and just some details about it.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I've been teaching in-person workshops around that first level of the book, or first level of life mission, the why, what, and who question, why am I here, what does that call me to do, who does that call me to be? And I wanted to make that more available to people in the general public, whether or not they had in-person class available. And I wanted to make it available in a way that they could work on the process individually. So included in the book is the weekend process embedded in the story. So the story is fictional. The scales, some of which I shared earlier, are embedded in the story. So you have an example of somebody working through those questions. There's about 100 scales and they're at the back of the book, so you can go back and forth between here's the scale, you can do it without reading the book per se, but then you could read the book and then could do the questions. You might read through the book and then do the questions. You might do the questions while you're doing it. And then we have a website called caravanconversations.community where you can work with other people from around the world through the process. There are in-person classes like that, and then there are Zoom community calls around working the process through the book. So it was my hope that message that anyone can know their life mission and become skillful at it if you're willing to do the skills would become more widespread by making it available.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love the part that they can interact with others through the Zoom. How is that working? Are people liking that? I think it's wonderful.
Well, yeah, there are sort of advantages to both. Being able to do Zoom means you can have people from different parts of the world on the call together. People also enjoy doing it in person with a group because they, over the course of, usually how that works, there's 12 chapters. So what typically happens is it's a chapter a month. So they do the questions and the skills for that chapter, and then they talk about it, and then the next month, the next set of skills. So there's a sort of a community that forms, and they get to be good friends over the course of the year. So they like the in-person. That happens to a certain degree over Zoom as well, though.
Right. And so the in-person, these are local groups. These are local groups where people live that they can go. That's wonderful. I didn't know that was included as part of it. Like you mentioned, that does create community and it does create friendships. And here you have friendships at a level where people are striving for the same thing you are, in a sense. So that creates really close and very valuable friendships. That's wonderful. So how do we get hold of the book, Caravan of Remembering?
Well, the book in the e-format is available in all the e-formats from Kindle to iTunes to Kobo. It's available in the Cafe On Demand print form around the world. You can buy the book on Amazon. You can reach us through the caravanofremembering.com. That's the book site. You can access the Community Conversations Club. There's a newsletter you can access through that. You can buy the book through that. Also, you can get the book through thewaytheheart.com.
Okay, so there's The Caravan of Remembering by Daniel Goodenough. It's Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, Goodenough, G-O-O-D-E-N-O-U-G-H. And it sounds like a wonderful, it's actually a course. You call it a book, and it's really a course in which to enrich your life, find out who you are, what you're meant to do in this earth. And it sounds absolutely wonderful. So You've been doing this work for a really long time. We talked a little bit about why you do the work, but you didn't talk too much about your journey. Let's speak to that for just a few minutes as you journey to find your place, you know, your reason for being. How was that? How did that feel for you?
Well, I think it was a little different for me in that I don't really remember ever not knowing why I was here. And what I'm doing now was that. For me, it was more, how do I actually do that? Because when I was a child and looking at how do I do this, you know, I didn't have the words for it I have now. So there was the process of getting clearer about how does one talk about knowing that I'm here to help people remember why they're here. Because I just always, as long as I remember remembering, I knew that was why I was here. So it was more about, well, how does one do that? And in those days, that was not in a job catalog anywhere. So, you know, the whole personal growth movement exploded much later. So it was, you know, originally looking at people like Napoleon Hill and William Clement Stone and those kind of personal growth people very early on, Success Magazine. And then later, as the personal growth started happening, you know, doing my own research, the taking of the classes that lots of people do, and refining that into a process that said, from my personal piece, and the vision again is the way I see it is, what do you see as possible for the world? And your mission is your unique way to do that, and let's say purpose, because purpose can be to get to the other side of the room. You know, so purpose isn't really anything to do with your life mission unless you intentionally say so, because sometimes our purpose is to finish our work before we get out, so we can leave early for the weekend. So if your purpose is to live while you're here, then the mission is the unique piece of that. So most of the journey for me was articulating my particular unique way of saying, you can, and not really finding that anyone else out there saying that. Life mission is a skill, and if you do the practices, and what are those practices? So creating the practices and creating the system and the process and prototyping them and working with people and refining them and constantly up-leveling them, that was the process for me.
Wow, so I would say that you're an exceptional person in the sense that you always knew what your mission was. You knew what you were here to do. I've not met anyone except for you that knew that from the time they were a child. Maybe one person. So that's very exceptional. Most people don't know what their mission is, and they have no idea, and they're totally clueless. So yours was a very different journey to where you knew what your mission was, just not how to implement yet. Like you said, there was no self-help back then, at least not as a category. Self-help's been around since the beginning of time, but not, you know, per se as a category. So I think that was awesome. I mean, you went out and you had to create this for yourself, and you've done a tremendous job, Daniel. I just applaud you for what you've created. So is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener about this?
Well, it would be that anyone and everyone at any stage of life can become skillful at knowing their life mission and being able to articulate it to anyone they need to articulate it to, and can become skillful with how to dance with that in our times, and how to evolve and up-level that. And that's for everyone. It's a skill development thing like anything else in life. And if you do the practice, you will be able to do it.
Fantastic. And for someone who's just searching and saying, I don't feel a purpose, I have no purpose, what do you think their first step could be?
Well, read my book, of course, but let's say that in lieu of that, if you just ask those three questions I have kept coming back to, why am I here, what does that call me to do, and who would I have to be to step into that, and who, so that's why, who will I become by doing it? What we know is the brain is a question-answering machine. If you keep asking those questions, your brain will give you an answer to that. I promise you that everyone has a mission and everyone can remember it, because you don't have to create it. It came with you. It's more like remembering it. Why was I wired in the way I was wired? And that's why the why question is so important.
Yeah. Good. Let's talk about that, that we came with it. We didn't really touch on that point because you don't hear this often. We came on this earth, we're born with a mission, but then we forget it. As we grow up, we forget it. So let's speak to that just a few moments.
Well, you know, when there was research done about this question, and, you know, it had to do with, so when people either won the lottery or got a big inheritance or they retired or whatever it was, when someone finally allowed themselves to do whatever it was their heart wanted them to do, what was that? And what they found is, in almost without exception, what they decided to do at the point where they were going to allow themselves to do what they wanted to do was almost always something they already knew they wanted to do at 7. And there's a reason for that. There's a brain development aspect of that, that we don't really get beta consciousness until about 7. We've been here just kind of long enough to figure out how it works here, but not so long. We've completely forgotten where we've come from, that there is this thing that comes together on multiple levels, and especially on the brain level, that says somewhere between 6 and let's say 8 years old, around 7 years, we actually have enough brain formation that we have a beta conscious awareness where we can, where we actually know why we're here, and most kids did, and as you say, got talked out of it. And our culture is kind of designed to discourage young people. We say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And if it doesn't sound like what we want them to say, we kind of go, yeah, that's nice, and pat their head and, you know, kind of discourage them from doing that.
Exactly. Okay, very good. We hadn't spoken on that, and I thought that was an important point to bring out, because it's a shame that there's that discouragement, and hopefully things are turning around. I know that when I raised my kids, I didn't discourage them. I didn't talk them out of anything because I knew better. And so I think that we're starting to shift that way more. So my girls, my youngest daughter has 2 kids now, and she's raising them like I did, to just explore everything and to step into who they're meant to be. So I believe that there's more and more of that happening. Do you agree, Daniel?
Yeah, I think that's changing the world, and more you see the popularity of books about life purpose. And you know, again, I think purpose is kind of a sticky word to use with that, because purpose can be temporary. But there's a lot of discussion about that, and so I do think it's changing. Yeah. And especially really young children, I always like to say when somebody introduces me to their kids, to say, don't forget. Because they do already
sweet.
Know. Yeah,
they do
forget.
Already know, but then they begin, don't forget. I love that, and I love what you're doing. I think it's wonderful that you're giving a tool for people who have forgotten to be able to step into that. I love your scales, because I took piano when I was a child, and I remember doing the scales, and I remember not liking them because it's tedious, but at the same time, you do get the dexterity with them, so this is the same thing. So if you're willing to do the work, this is out there for you. Daniel, it's been wonderful to have you as a guest today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I loved it. Thank you.
And remember to pass this on. This is a great interview. Daniel has a wonderful gift to share. The Caravan of Remembering is his book. You can get it on Amazon. You can find it anywhere. Just Google it, The Caravan of Remembering. And thank you for being with us today on Dare to Be Authentic. Make sure you join us next time for our next guest. And if you want to check out any of the things I'm doing, just visit my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. You'll be able to see all sorts of things there. And don't forget to check out my radio show page, where you can click into Blog Talk and see all the radio shows. So goodbye, and thank you so much for being with us today.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.